Today is August 12, 2011. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library. And today, I'm taking the oral history of Bruce Story. Bruce, what is your full name?
Bruce Gordon Story.
How do you spell your last name, Bruce?
S-T-O-R-E-Y.
Okay. When and where were you born?
Born in 1935, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Okay. Where do you live today?
I live in Goebbels, Michigan.
And how long have you lived there?
55 years.
Okay. You're married.
Married.
What's your wife's name?
Beverly.
What's her maiden name?
Peck. P-E-C-K.
All right. Where's Beverly from?
Bloomingdale.
Bloomingdale. Oh, sure. Yeah. Do you have children?
I have three girls.
What are their names?
The oldest one's name is Marcia. Alfieri. Glenda Hemmel. And Diane Cobalt.
And are you guys grandparents?
I'm grandparents. And each one of my girls give me one of each.
Okay.
So I have six grandchildren.
Six. Okay. What's your personal connection to the Parchment area? Did you live here when you worked at KVP, or?
I lived here from 1938 to August 1945, the day of VE Day.
You did? Okay.
We moved to the little town of Kendall.
Yes, moved to Kendall, sure. Okay, how long were you there? He's thinking.
Well,
do you remember how old?
I went to elementary in Kendall.
Okay.
And went to junior high in Goebbels.
All right.
Went to high school in Goebbels and graduated in 1954.
Okay. Did you go to elementary school in Parchment at all?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
From kindergarten to fourth grade.
Yeah. What do you remember?
What do I remember? Oh, walking to school from up on Groveland.
Oh, where did you live on Groveland? Do you remember the house number?
I think it was 408 or 409.
Okay.
Groveland.
Yeah?
Right on the corner of Groveland and Glengyle.
Sure. Okay. And you walked to school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you like school?
Not especially at the early ages. I was not a student.
No, you didn't? Do you remember any of your teachers' names?
The only one I remember, and I think I was a kindergarten teacher, and it was Mrs. Peterson.
Yeah.
And as far as the other ones, I can't remember. But mm-hmm. And then our last get-together with the KVP group, there was a young man that I always have remembered. Jim Hawkins was his name. He was in my class at the same time. And we usually see each other quite frequently when we get together in different places. We talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And
oh, great.
Different things. We're both about the same age.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
No, I'm the only one.
Only child. Okay, what were your parents' names?
My dad's name was Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
G-L-E-N-N.
Yeah.
And my mother's name was Mildred.
Mildred. Do you remember her maiden name?
Pierce.
I-E-R-C-E. You told me that your dad also worked at the mill.
Yeah, my dad worked the mill. He started in 1927. And worked up till he was 1972 when he retired.
Is that right?
And he was in Parchment Print all them years.
Parchment Print. Mm-hmm. And then you went to work for the mill.
And I went to work for the mill in 1954. It was one of my last places I came to because I didn't know what my dad was doing. He was working shift work all of his life, and I said I didn't want no part of it, but there was nothing going on.
Was it his whole life he was working shift?
Whole life he worked shift.
Really?
Work, yeah.
And that was, correct me now, 1 week you'd work days, and then the next week you'd be on...
And afternoons.
Afternoons, and then
the midnight shift.
Very hard on
change every week.
Very hard on a person.
It is very hard on a person.
Yeah.
He struggled it out, and I struggled it out for 37 and a half years.
You were at the mill for 37 and a half years.
37 and a half years.
Okay, and the whole time you were there, you were in?
Anlin Gravure Print. That was in the new mill behind the elementary school.
Behind the elementary school. Okay. Yeah. Did you go, you took that job because jobs were tough to get.
Jobs were hard to find, and I said, I might as well take it to see what's going on. But my dear wife at the time, we married after a year of work, she says, I don't know if I want to stay with you the rest of my life, you work in shift work. But here we are, married 57 years, going on 57 years,
yes.
And we're still living together.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, that was other people that we've done oral histories on have commented about shift work being very difficult.
Well, you miss a lot on your children going to school, like evening programs in the afternoon.
Sure.
And like, say, here you are working 4 to 12. You have to trade shifts if you get someone to trade shifts with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Right.
So then you have to either go in and tell your supervisor you'd like to take a day off or just forget about it.
Right.
But back then, you didn't usually take days off because things were hard, just as are like they are right now, this day and age.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it was tough. So, you stayed there 37 and a half years. There must have been something you liked about that job. Did you like the people? Did you like the work?
It was very challenging work. It was scaring to being a young man to go into something like this because, like I say, you had to put jobs on the press. You had to learn your color separations, which colors goes on first. So I was on a four-color Anlin press.
Okay.
Flexel.
How do you spell that, name of that press that you just said? Anlin?
Anlin, A-L-I-N-E.
Flexel. A-L-I-N-E.
It was a Flexel.
A Flexel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
And then as you progressed, we had three Anlin presses, four Anlin presses, excuse me. And then we went to Roto Gravure, which was a great challenge. It was a great challenge.
Was it? Why?
It was a different type. Your Roto Gravure, all your material was engraved on cylinders where the Anlin presses, the Rotoflex, they were on rubber plates. We had to mount them, but these were all put on a brass base and chromed over.
Okay.
And then we put our jobs on three colors on up to eight colors.
So Roto Gravure printed wrappers for food? What'd you print?
Well,
what was your product?
The first job we took that I went up on, it was an S10. It was a Roto Gravure three color, and it had a sheeter. And we both, the fellow that was going up as a pressman, I went up as a helper with him. His name was Don Motzinger. Don told me one time, he says, before we go up there, Bruce, he says, you learn all you can because I'm coming up the following week. We both laughed. I said, it's going to be an experience, ain't it, Don? So we had our fun together, but we worked out everything. And
sure.
And it was, he was later on in years, he was my former boss. And I say, I couldn't ask for a better gentleman to work with because everything that we'd done together throughout the whole print shop was a family. We worked together and done things together.
Right.
And that's all the other gentlemen that I worked with.
Yeah. So. Do you remember names of guys you worked with?
There's a fellow by the name of Fred Beck, Curtis McComas, Ray Bodine, Stan Rouge, Marv Anson, Harold Lindsley, Howard Schaefer.
Great.
Don Woodhams. Pat Whitney. Al Hemstreet. There's quite a few other ones that don't come to my name right now, yeah. But like I say, we all work together, and the fellows that I mentioned taught me a lot because they brought me up from scratch.
Right.
And like I say, I was very, very sure. pleased working with the fellow, because if I had any problems on a press that you were working on, and they was ahead of you, you could always go up and ask them, and they say, well, what do you got? You got a problem? Better to come to us than go to the boss. So, like I say, this is what we always done together. We work together.
Sure.
It was very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So, you did that for, that's a long time.
37 and a half
you,
years.
Did you retire from there, Bruce?
Retired in 1990.
Retired in 1990.
91, okay. Excuse me.
91. Did you take, was that like when another merger was going on?
That was when
they... you took a buyout or something, or what was that?
We were forced out.
Yeah.
Because of the merger coming in with the other presses. I mean, the other presses were being moved over to Epic.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it back in 19...
Epic, which is, I'll just interject here, I think is over on Island Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back a little bit further. Back in 1980, they laid the whole print shop off, the whole print shop's off.
Oh.
Then they had a skeleton crew that came back and started working and doing things. And most of the gentlemen that I had mentioned through the press work that I worked with them on, some of them retired and some of them stayed on. Well, some of us younger fellows that had the option of a 2-year recall rights with two calls, then we could come back. But it was just a rough and tough situation.
Well, how long was that layoff in 1980? Weeks?
Oh no. I was off for just about a year.
You were.
Then Don Motzinger was my supervisor at the time. He called me back up and wondered if I'd be willing to come back. I had a different job. I said, yes, sir, I'll be back. Just tell me anytime you want me to, because we could keep our seniority rights.
Oh.
But we lost a year. I was off a year. We lost a year.
Yeah.
In our pension. But I went back and we worked all 1991.
Yeah.
It was a very, very skeleton crew.
Okay.
There was a case of Anlin wax print and parchment print presses. Wax print, some of us never run a press down there. Then some of the fellows in parchment print came up years ago and worked at parchment, come up in our shop. They knew a little bit more about it, so we'd ask them. So I say there's probably about 6 of us fellows that, or more, had to go down and learn how to run wax print, which was altogether different, and parchment print, which was altogether different.
Yeah.
And we had one supervisor, who's all we had at the time. We worked days, and sometimes we would work days from 4 to 12, not very seldom the midnight shift, unless we had something busy.
Yeah, yeah.
And our supervisor at the time had felt that he had us as a responsibility, because we were running, starting all over again, trying to get jobs to come in, and we did work, and we had quite a few jobs that came in.
Okay.
And they were toughies, but we done it.
Yes.
And like I say, we had to learn all over again, different types of printing. But the printing part wasn't, but it was just the idea of what we had to use, what we were using with, and things like that. And we very light on help, but most of the fellows that had a lot of experience. And
was this the time when they were computerized?
No, they weren't.
Not yet. They weren't computerized.
Our presses were not computerized. Okay. We had one that was computerized that they changed over. It was a wax print press.
Okay.
That's the one that went to Epic.
Okay.
And that was computerized partially.
Mm-hmm.
But really and truthfully, nowadays, all the printing presses are all computerized now.
Right.
But we didn't have anything. They were old presses, but they run good and everything like that. So.
Sure. Okay. So no, you didn't have to go to get computer training to learn how to run these presses. Okay.
when they sent the one that we got, that they sent, was a wax print, it was a 6-color wax print press. They sent that out to the state of Washington to have it made over into a flexo press. And there was four or five of the fellows that went with the shop, out with our supervisor at the time. Our supervisor at that time was Morris Pontius. They went out there and learned what the scoop was and stuff like that. Then they shipped it back here, and then we all got our hands into it.
Okay.
And
so was that fun to learn new things? Well, or
it's always fun.
It's yeah.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Exactly.
I think the older an older the person gets, you think about this, and I say it's a more challenge because, like I say, to me, doing this as a teenager yet, and going up to what I was doing, I think I learned quite a bit. Then there was a lot of times when I went out to parchment print.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little trouble. My dad, he was still living at the time, and he would come in and give.
Really?
Come in and give us, some of us guys that was working on the press, just not me, but some of the other fellows that was real close to it. He'd get in there and get it. He saw Glenn, says, get your hands out of there. He says, you're going to get greasy and everything. And Dad would always say, well, I know it from head to toe, so see what you can do it. And he did help a lot of our fellows out with it.
He did, eh?
Because there was a lot of fellows that didn't know what the scoop was.
Sure. Okay.
So, like I say, that I had an advantage on that, because I called him up one night and on telephone, and I asked him, I said, Dad, I said, I've got a problem. He says, what's your problem, son? He says, the sheet's not cut fully across, which was a 36-inch cutoff. And he says, what's it doing? I says, well, it's cutting all right on the from the gear side over. And he says, but about from the opposite the gear side, about 3 or 4 inches, it's hanging up. I says, I've got an idea what it is, but I says, I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
And he says, well, it sounds like it's your fly knife. It needs to be sharpened up a little bit. I said, well, you tell me what to do. He says, well, do you want me to come in? I says, no, you tell me what to do. And if it does work, I'll give you a call back one way or the other. And if I can't do it, you'll come in.
Okay.
And we both chuckled about it. So I went out there and I sat there and I looked at it for a few minutes. I kept a looking. I said, should I or shouldn't I? I says, you're going to get your fingers wet. Might as well sometimes, Bruce, so you might as well do it. So I went in, he done just as he told me to. There was, on the fly knife, it was a bed knife, actually, we had to work on. I had to bring it up, coming across it. That, he says, go one bolt beyond it, but all you got to do is just touch your Allen wrench, then tighten it down again. Says, then let it fly over by itself. Just run over and just seat the fly knife in. And he says, then hone the fly knife down and go ahead and thread your press back up and see what will happen. So I did that and everything went smooth. So like I say,
yeah,
the two of father and son, that's where, like I say, they all said I was just like my dad. But like I say, I asked you, what do you mean? He says, you're a perfectionist. I said, no, I'm not a perfectionist. Yes, you are.
Oh.
So, like I say, this is what happens, and like I say, there's a lot of times some of them fellows, real close friends of mine, Dad would come in and help them out just as much as he did me.
Really?
I was on that one press, because he run it for quite a few years together. So this is how we all work together.
And nobody had any trouble with your dad walking in the plant after he's retired.
After Don Motzinger, a supervisor, he come to me the next day and he says, what does your dad like to drink, Bruce? I said, Dad don't like to drink nothing. I said, just call him up, Don, and say thanks. That'd be more of a tune for him.
Sure.
And that's all that was ever said. That's as far as it got. As far as it got to was when they went and told Don, then Don called Dad up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
To thank him. And, like I say, it's just one of those things.
Great.
It was one big family.
Yep.
There was I've heard that. Local 337 at one time. There's probably close to 350 to 400 employees between the three print shops.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Were you? And those were union days. I mean, everybody was.
No, the union didn't come in until I think my dad told me it was 1936 is when the Union came.
I see. Okay.
Okay. Before that, it was just...
Yeah. Yeah. So, your dad knew Jake Kindleberger and all those guys.
Oh, yeah. Dad knew
those early guys that started it.
I didn't get a chance to meet him. He, I can't remember what year it was he passed away, but I think he, I came in
1947. I think it was New Year's Day, 47.
Yeah, so I didn't get a chance to see him. Some of the fellows that I worked with did see him, but Dad remembers him as a Indian. He always said he was a grand man. If there wasn't jobs to be gotten, he'd go out and get them.
Yeah, I read that.
He said he never laid off.
Right.
He said if he was slow on work, he says, hey, there's some windows that needs to be washed, the floor needs to be cleaned, the pressures need to be cleaned up. He never laid off. Said it was just a family.
I understand he kept a lot of families going through the Depression here in
and
town.
Look back what Dad told me too. Like I say, he's taken back of the mill. There was a lot of homes that he built back there for the employees. Mm-hmm. And there's some of the ones that's on this side on the front of the mill that he did.
Sure.
And how many would people as a a boss or an owner would do something like this during the war times and keep you working.
That's right.
And like I say, it was a fantastic family organization. Plus, he didn't go with all family. He went with other people too, just as well as anybody else. It was a swell place to work for. I raised my three children.
Yeah.
Got them partially off into college. Married them all off. And I said, as far as I'm concerned, just like my wife Beverly told us, we made a fall check, but it still always came through every week.
Yeah.
And I had no complaints with the 37 and a half years.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you do after 1991? Did you stay retired? Have you been retired ever since?
Well,
did you go back to work somewhere or what?
We tried retirement. It worked for 1 year, but when you start digging into... I was only 57 and a half at the time.
I see. Sure.
And we had to start digging. I said, well, I had to do something. I said, what am I going to do? They weren't hiring older guys that was laid off at that time.
And yeah.
So I had a chance to go to work for the city of Goebbels until I was 62.
Yeah.
So I went ahead to walk down to the city office, punched in, and started working.
Holy. What'd you do for the city?
Anything that come up.
Yeah.
Paint curbs, cut trees, cut branches off, chip them, clean up.
Sure.
Any maintenance work that was done to be done.
Were you a part-time or full-time employee for them?
Part-time and full-time.
Both?
So both, yeah.
Okay.
Started up part-time and then
went to
full-time.
Did you like doing that?
I was outside, which
yeah.
I never was before. I was inside, and
yeah.
anywhere that I could
outside
go.
In the winter? Were you outside in the winter?
Oh, yeah. Clean sidewalks up, clean streets up.
Yeah.
It was altogether different, but it was fun. And when I retired, we done a lot of things. I like say it. We have two other couples that we chum around with. Bev went to school with three of them.
Uh-huh.
And I went to school with my neighbor. And our 25th wedding anniversary, we went to Hawaii together.
This is the famous Thursday night.
That was the year they shut us down. We had the trip all made out and everything.
No kidding. 1980? Was it 80?
Yeah.
You went anyway, didn't you?
We went anyway, but it was a struggle. It was a struggle. So like I say, then one of my closest, deepest friends, the name was Richard Wilson. He worked for the Stew. When he left in 80, he went to work at the Gull Lake School.
Yeah.
And come 85, their 25th anniversary come up, and they asked us if we wanted to go. I said, sure, we'll go. So we went to Hawaii again. So if anything ever happens tomorrow, I have no complaints.
Yeah.
We've done a lot. We've been out to Arizona, California with our oldest daughter,
yeah.
her husband, and two children. And 4 weeks ago, about a month ago, went to Beverly. We married off our oldest girl's granddaughter.
Your oldest granddaughter got married.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so like I say, we've We've done all right. I have no complaints.
Yeah.
Like I say, we got two younger grandchildren. Right now, they're the idol of our air lanes because one's going to be a junior this year, and one's a sophomore, isn't it?
Eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to be a junior this year.
Okay.
In eighth grade.
Okay.
The boy that's in the one that's in the eighth grade is my grandson. He says, "Well, Grandpa, when are we going to go play golf?" So I said, "Well," he said, "I can come over this week if you want to."
Oh,
he says, "We'll play golf."
Boy.
So this is where our idol of our air lanes are at right now.
This is great.
So.
Yeah. By the way, I just want to interject here. The voice that you hear in the background is Bruce Story's wife, Beverly. She's sitting with us. Now, I just want to say, I met you two at the first reunion, which was last year, and tried to talk you into an oral history, and you said, "Oh, no." And then I was regaled in the lobby with stories about these Thursday night suppers that you have with some other KV pals. You're a couple other pals of yours.
Well, what's left of Local 337, there's not too many of us left right now. Roughly, we used to start out with six of us.
Yeah.
No, it was 10 of us, wasn't it?
Ten, you mean five couples?
Five couples.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the five couples, all the five couples wouldn't come. But most generally right now, once a week on the Thursday night,
yeah,
one of us got to pick a place. We go sit there and we talk over things, bring up the old mill,
yeah,
get into arguments, talk about this, talk about that, have fun. But like I say, that's why I say it was a close-knit group of people in Anlin Gevier.
Sure.
It was a close-knit family, and like I say, a lot of us had our ups and downs, but we'd always work them out. But like I say, that was our first family, actually. You come right down to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I say, and there were a lot of the fellows that, like I say, when I went down and into Wax Print, I had a fellow by the name of John Reed, worked there for years. And he taught me all he knew about the wax print presses, which were six colors.
Yeah.
I said, "Oh boy, this is going to be fun." And I was still helping when I went back, and we had an opening on the afternoon shift to come in when the fellows didn't come in. Don Motzinger come up to me, he says, "Bruce, you're next up to go to run a press." I said, "Which one are you going to run, Don?" He said, W-17. I says, "You got to be kidding me." I looked at him, and I said, "You got faith in me?" He looked at me and says, "If you got faith in yourself, I got faith in you." So this is the way
yeah.
I, and like I say, that was my first opportunity as a pressman to go up on wax print.
Sure.
And it was for 4 hours, and I had to put a job on, and it was really interesting and everything like that, and I had a good time doing it.
Yeah.
So like I say, that's how I learned.
You bet.
So.
And with tons of support, too. I mean, you guys all supported each other. Sure.
Had a lot of support. And like mm-hmm. say, the guys that went up first, we give them tons of support.
You bet.
And like I say, it was altogether different.
Yeah. So. Did you ever play any the sports teams for KVP?
Now, you would have to bring that
yes,
up.
Yes, I would. What?
Well,
what did you
1954,
do?
The year I graduated, we took the state championship in basketball.
Where? Goebbels?
Lansing. State championship.
But I mean Goebbels High School.
Yeah, Goebbels High School.
For heaven's sakes. The state championship in basketball. Did you ever play for any sports for KVP?
No, I played a little basketball down to the old community house one or 2 years, but that's about
you
all.
Did? You played in the gym in the community house?
I played in the gym in the community house.
Well, what do you remember about all that? The community house. Boy, there are there's so much. So many people miss it. Lots of nostalgia and sentiment.
Well, I'll tell you, they had a lot of Uncle Jake.
Yeah.
Always had his Christmas party down there at the community house. The first thing that I had some skin disease with it called psoriasis, and we had it on the north side of it. There was a little part there. He was a trainer. my dad would take me down there and put me under lights.
Yeah.
And see about getting that taken care of. And that's the first time I ever would have been in the community house.
Because they had a clinic in there, a health clinic in there. Yeah.
Like I say,
yeah.
So.
And so you played basketball in there, mm-hmm. just a couple years?
Just a couple years.
Yeah.
You don't get a chance to do too much when you work shift work.
No. Weren't you tired all the time? Do you remember that feeling of just being kind of tired, trying to catch up on your sleep?
The only shift I really got tired on, we always tried to get them to work backwards. And they were next day, start out on 12 to 8, go to 4 to 12, and 8 to 4, which we did in later years.
I see.
But when you go from 4 to 12, 8 to 4, 4 to 12, 12 to 8, the 12-day shift was hard because you didn't start till Monday night. You'd have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off.
Oh, okay.
And you have a long weekend, but yeah. All that was hard.
Yeah.
But we survived.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you did. Okay, let's get a little philosophical here. We're winding up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I ask everybody this. What do you consider a successful life, and how has parchment affected that?
Well, when I come through parchment now, I come through it quite frequently. I look at the place, I go down to where I was working, you see the big old tall fence around.
Yeah.
And then they got the old mill all tore down now. And you hear the stuff that's going on now. They took the police department away from it. They're talking about taking the post office away from it now. And I said, what's coming off here? I said, it's too nice of a town to be letting things like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts. I mean, like I say, just going from living here in 1938 to 1935 and see what's going on and working here for 37 and a half years.
Sure.
You see too many changes. You take a little corner restaurant up here on G Avenue and...
The corner view. Yeah.
And like say, you see a lot of the older folks come in. In fact, I sat there one day and I sat there looking at him. Boy, I know him. Well,
yeah.
It was his son. And I said, boy, you look familiar. He says, can I ask you what your first name, what last name? And it was Fish. He says, you're probably talking about my dad, which it was. He worked in wax production.
Yeah.
And like I say, you see different people there, and you get to talking about what's going on. And the fellow that owns the restaurant, he says that it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's just too bad. You sit here looking at the wall right now, seeing Uncle Jake looking right at you.
Yep.
What's he thinking about?
Sure.
It's something he brought up in the city of Parchment. You come in, I don't know if the sign's still at the north end of the town. It used to be a paper.
It is. It's
and
still
like
there.
I say, it's not a paper place anymore.
Yep, you're right.
And like I say, it...
You're right. Sure.
It's a place to... I just hope it don't go as a ghost town.
Yeah.
It's a nice town.
Well, the history here is very rich.
Yeah.
And, you know, the town grew up around the mill. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing oral histories and collecting memorabilia is we don't want it to vanish either.
And
yeah.
Another thing, too, when I heard that the Methodist Church was burnt. I used to go there a couple, three times. More than that. Got started going there when I was a youngster.
Sure.
I went to Bible school, and we always go up on the top of the hill where the water tower is up there now, and we'd sit and have a picnic and stuff like that.
Yes,
and like
sure.
Say, I have an old car now, and like then when they have their festival in the summertime.
Do you exhibit in the car show during the Kindleberger Festival?
I can't believe it.
What kind of a car?
A 1964 Corvair.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
How long have you had that? When did you buy that?
That's about 8 years ago.
Okay. Did you buy it fully restored, or did you do it?
Well, there had to be a lot of tender, loving care. I'd done a lot of most of it, except for one thing. I didn't put a headliner in it. I had someone else do that, but the other stuff, I had the upholstery and then working on the engine and stuff like that, I'd done it myself.
Well, what color is the outside?
What color is it?
What color is it?
It's kind of, it's a beige.
Yeah.
It's a Monza.
And what's the inside? Upholstery color.
Tan.
Tan? Okay.
Two-door.
Two-door, sure. Two-door
coupe.
Okay.
That's one of the things that I've done throughout my life that my wife really enjoyed. I've tried snowmobiling, I tried fishing. She didn't like either one of them. We had a neighbor that had a 1964 Mustang. We went to different shows with
him. Boy, yeah.
And that's how I got started. And she enjoys it. We get in, we take off and go to different places on color tours. And
you bet.
And like I say.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing we can enjoy right now.
Right. That's a lot of fun. Bev's giving Bruce a hint to talk about picnics. Sounds like. Go ahead, Bev.
When they everybody retired, the 337 Union used to have a picnic every year.
They did. Same place?
Same place. It was at George Horn's family picnic grounds.
Okay. Where's that?
It's out by Yankee Springs.
Okay.
Going towards Hastings.
Do they still do that? You still do that?
No.
No, what happened there is we had it for about 5-6 years. And a lot of them was saying it was getting to the point, it was getting kind of hard for us to get to drive out there. But we said, well, should we go anyplace else? He said, no, we like it out here. But it's quiet, peaceful.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, let's just play it year by year, year by year. I mean, like you say, if we have to quit, we have to quit.
Sure.
So this is what happened. The final year, we'd always get together. Everybody would bring a dish to pass. We'd sit there and bring old pictures in.
You bet.
Sure. Talk about this and talk about that, what we've been doing, how we've been doing, just sitting around, shooting the breeze.
You bet.
And it'd last anywhere from 3 to 4, maybe 4 hours, something like that at the most.
Yeah.
We had good times. And finally, some of the fellows that would come, they've gone to see their father.
Yes.
And that time has come, and like I say, some of them are still around. And
that's when we started doing the suppers.
I see.
That's how we started.
Oh, that's how I get it. Sure.
But like I say, if you would like to come sometime, you give me your telephone number, and I would be glad to give you a telephone.
Thank you.
We're going. And we've talked about the last couple of weeks about going over by Mendon. I got a place over there. It's called
a restaurant. You mean in Mendon? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it's just before you get into Mendon.
Yeah, you know what? I've been in that restaurant. And I can't think of the name.
They have pulled pork.
Of it either.
Cowboy.
I can't think
something.
Of either.
Cowboy Express or something like that.
Okay.
But it's all pulled pork.
Ah, yeah.
And we haven't done it yet, but.
But that could be on the agenda sometime.
Well,
yeah.
It could be on the agenda. Yeah. But like I say, we've hit different places, and we all got the Kiwanis book, coupon book.
Oh, sure.
And the Kalamazoo Gazette coupons, and this is what we do. We pick out a place and go there. We have a lot of fun. Like I say,
it certainly sounds like it.
Just bring back memories. In fact, when we get done here today with you, I think we're going to head down here to the Corner Cafe now and have a...
We got acquainted
with one of the gals down there.
Okay.
She's had a hard time, and like I say, it's just nice to be around the people.
You bet.
Like I say, people parchment.
You bet. Well, good. Then this segues great into my last question.
Okay.
What would you like people to remember most about parchment?
Remember the good days. When the old steam was coming out of the powerhouse.
Oh, boy.
When the old stack was down at the old mill at the powerhouse, it stood up and it said KVP on it.
Yes.
And seeing the trains come in with carloads of coal.
That's right.
Carloads of paper going out.
Yeah.
And And the same way, he's coming in, taking paper out, and bringing pulp in, stuff like this. I mean, it.
Yep.
The buildings weren't the greatest, but there was a lot of people that made a lot of good living, raised families. Just remember the good times and try to forget the past. When it's all said and done, when they take down the new mill, that's when it's going to hurt. But let's just hope what's going in there will bring Parchment back to life again.
Okay.
With the hard times that's going on. And like I say, I know the city folks on the council have got a rough road to hoe. They don't read in the paper. You see this and see that, what's going on with the police department and their post office.
Yeah.
Stick together, people. Stick together. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can say. That's what's going to make life a lot better. And we just hope in the future this is what they're going to do in the vacancy of the paper mill.
Sure.
It's going to help the city of Parchment.
Okay.
That's about all I can say to remember.
You said it very well. Thank you so much, Bruce.
You're welcome.
It took me a year to get you agree to do an oral history interview, and I'm so glad you did. Thanks again.
You're welcome.